The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday in the Israel Update with Anthony Rice, only on Chai FM.
Anthony, a very good morning to you. Can't be an easy morning in Israel. We've been playing the alerts. We've been sounding the alerts every time they happen. And I can tell you, in the last hour and a half, it has been horrific. What it must feel like in Israel is unimaginable.
Boker Tov, Howard. Morning to you guys. Yeah, very tense here this morning, obviously. And particularly for the residents of southern Israel, who've had to spend another night in bus shelters. Some of the residents have been instructed not to leave their bus shelters at all, while others are being told that they need to be within very close proximity of their bus shelters through the course of today. The ban on education facilities, on schools and universities, has been extended even further this morning. No school in Beersheba, no school in Ashkelon, in addition, of course, to the ban that was already set down yesterday for communities that are very, very much closer to the border area. No gatherings of more than a certain number of people are being allowed. So no work today, no regular work activities. Things are very, very tense indeed. Almost 400 rockets, I understand, according to the last count, have been fired since yesterday afternoon, and it doesn't look as if they're going to let up anytime soon. Unfortunately, an Israeli man has been killed in Ashkelon. His body was found under rubble of an apartment building that was hit by one of the rockets. Let's just say that out of the approximately 400 rockets that have been fired towards Israel, something like 100 have already been intercepted by Iron Dome. So this is showing a certain level of accuracy, a certain level of ability to really fire towards residential areas, the likes of which we did not see in previous operations. Most of the rockets that were fired previously were landing in open areas, went without any interception. But on this occasion, we're finding that a much higher percentage of the rockets that are being fired are being intercepted by Iron Dome because they are threatening life and limb. Can you imagine if those 100 rockets had hit residential areas? As it is, quite a number of rockets have already hit areas in Ashkelon and in other parts of Israel. There's something like 70 people that were being treated for different levels of injuries, some of them for shock, some of them quite seriously injured. Emergency surgery being conducted on at least one soldier overnight who was hit when a missile exploded a bus not far from the Gaza border. He happened to be nearby. The bus itself was completely destroyed. He happened to be nearby and was quite seriously injured. Another lady in that apartment where the man died was also found to be seriously injured. So quite a number of injuries and quite a lot of damage having been incurred, despite the fact that Iron Dome has been intercepting all of these missiles in order to keep us safe. So clearly a huge escalation in the security situation. Things very, very tense. And of course, a lot of activity on the IDF side. The Israeli Air Force has hit more than 150 targets in Gaza overnight. We're told that tank fire has been used, as well as fire from military naval vessels off the coast of Gaza. We understand that extra tank battalions have been called up to be on standby on the Gaza border, and we understand also that battalions of infantry soldiers are also gathering along the Gaza border in the event that some sort of a ground incursion may be required. I don't expect that to happen very, very soon, but clearly the IDF is already looking at the possibility of that situation. So clearly, a very, very tense situation that we find ourselves in at the moment.
How much of this is posturing? In other words, a lot of the people that I spoke with late yesterday, their view was that the both sides will probably push this to a point and then reduce it. Nobody looking for a full-scale confrontational war at this point. What are your thoughts on that?
I tend to agree with that overall position. And certainly, you know, last night that was my view, and I still hold the same view. There are mediation attempts going on with the help of the Egyptian security in order to try and reduce the intensity and try and get things back to some sort of a more manageable scale. But as we've seen, a very, very small incident can suddenly turn the whole situation on its head. And, you know, I know there were a lot of questions yesterday about that operation that was carried out in Sunday.
I was going to ask you if we know anything further about that yet.
I mean, that is a classic example. On Sunday morning when we woke up, there was no prospect of this happening. And it was the kind of, you know, an activity that would be carried out by the IDF, you know, what I would call in the ordinary course of business. In other words, it was a very sensitive operation, but it wasn't something that wouldn't have been done before. It seems, I mean, very, very little information has been published, even to the point that the lieutenant colonel who was killed in that operation, his name has not been released. We've not seen any details about his funeral, which is very, very unusual.
It is currently sounding in Israel.
This is in the Nachal Oz area and Kfar Aza as well. The sirens are sounding in those areas as well. There's a new one, Zimrati Yez Aram. Those are three new alerts that have just come through.
Just think about the fact that many of the residents in that area will have 15 or 20 seconds to get into their own shelters from the time that the alert is sounded. So just, you know, they will have to be in that shelter right now after that alert was sounded in order to remain safe. So just getting back to the operation that was carried out, it's highly unusual that the name of the deceased soldier has not been published, no details of his funeral. We have absolutely no information about the operation that was involved in. Seems to me to have been a very super, super sensitive operation, something that perhaps potentially went even to the very, very heart of the Hamas leadership. And it seems, from what I can gather from just getting a feel for things, that the Hamas honor has been damaged in the process of whatever happened during that operation. There is a certain element of retaliation for the seeking Hamas commander who was killed, but I don't think that this that we're seeing right now is all about that person that was killed. I think it's much, much deeper than that, and it's going to be interesting to see information ultimately comes out about that operation, how it went wrong, and why it resulted in such a dramatic change of events over the last 24 hours. And similarly, you know, the IDF has gone in and has bombed Hamas intelligence officers in various tunnels and command control centers, and really taking the opportunity to destroy a lot of Hamas infrastructure in Gaza. And one little incident that might once again be considered to be encroaching upon the honor of Hamas could turn this into a full-scale war. As I see things at the moment, there is going to be a lot of anger vented on both sides. Hamas will certainly continue to vent their anger, at least for the next 24 hours. By this time tomorrow, I think we'll have a much clearer indication as to whether this is going to be a longer-term, more serious operation, or whether things might well just calm down a little bit, which, of course, is the option that we hope will happen.
And see, one of the things that I've noticed was the language around the deceased or the killed soldier in Israel, and there was even a comment made yesterday that he is a Israeli hero comparable to Yoni Netanyahu, that he saved multiple Israeli lives without people knowing it. There's really a tremendous amount of talk around or hinting at who this guy was and what he could have accomplished. And it wasn't clear if it was during this operation or another or other operations. But there definitely seems to be have you seen that language used in many other at many other funerals?
I think that's true. I think that the point here is that because the name of the individual is still being withheld for publication, and therefore a proper eulogy, proper writing, write-ups in the newspaper can't really be done because of the fact that so much information is being withheld. I think that there was a need somehow to put out some positive things about this individual, clearly somebody who was a leader, who was a senior officer in a very, very elite unit that went undercover into Gaza. I'm sure not for the first time on Sunday, when he risked his life, would have been a tremendous leader of soldiers. And, you know, the work that these undercover units do in gathering intelligence and keeping an eye on the situation can never be underestimated. You know, the fact that they were there in Gaza, a lot of people saying, why were they there? What are they doing? Well, the answer is that we live in a situation where we are forced to gather intelligence by every possible means in order to secure the safety of our borders and in order to secure the safety of our citizens. And we've learned over the years that the way to do that is not to be reactive. You can't wait for them to fire the missile in order for you then to be ready to intercept it and to defend yourself. We have to be one step ahead of them all the time. We have to know that they're going to fire the missile even before they thought about firing it, if that's a good way of describing it. We want to be ahead of the game all the time so that by the time the decision is made to fire a missile, we've already been ready for ages in order to be able to defend ourselves. And of course, the undercover intelligence units and the undercover combat units that achieve these results, that go right in, that really dig out the inside information, do an unbelievable and a most valuable job for our country. And so I think that it's in that context that this individual's name has not been published, but has been praised in terms of the work that he's done. I'm sure not only during the operation in which he was killed, but indeed in previous operations as well.
Anthony, what's likely to happen moving forward now?
Well, I can see two possible paths moving forward from this point. Path number one is that we've gone too far already, and therefore this is going to just go into some sort of an ongoing battle, an ongoing operation. The IDF will continue to pound. Hamas targets will continue to come under rocket fire. The Iron Dome will be absolutely critical in protecting us, and this could go on for a few weeks. It might even result in some sort of a ground incursion into Gaza. That's option number one. Obviously, the option that we less prefer, but certainly a possible option as things stand at the moment. The Security Cabinet has decided to bring forward their meeting that was scheduled for later this morning to 9 o'clock. So there is an indication that there is a sense of urgency around the situation that they didn't see even last night when the time of the meeting was set. The second option is that having vented the fury and having got the anger out of their system, Hamas might then say, we're not ready for an ongoing escalation. We will give credit to the Egyptian mediators for bringing about a ceasefire, and things will kind of calm down and go back to, you know, where we were before. We probably will know that within the next 24 hours. We'll see overnight, particularly tonight, whether there's again the same attack, level of attack that we saw last night. If it goes down tonight, we will get a clear indication that this is kind of the end of, you know, what was a very, very angry and very bloody battle that went on over the last day or two, but then it will calm down. So those are the two possible outcomes that I see happening. Obviously, we hope that things will calm down a little bit, but the next 24 hours will really be telling.
And of course, we will keep a close eye on that. We will try and keep everybody informed on our side as much as we possibly can. And Anthony, we'll speak to you again tomorrow morning, same time, same place, hopefully with much better news. Stay safe, and thank you as always for your deep updates and your detailed view of the situation in Israel. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 High FM.